Justification, the means of grace, the theology of the cross, Christology, vocation, living in two kingdoms, and worship. Dr. Gene Edward Veith covers each of these teachings in the new third edition of his book, The Spirituality of the Cross. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Spirituality of the Cross, third edition. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May. The Lutheran faith has a particular way of reading the Bible. It is the way that all Christians ought to read the Bible. Many Christians do by default. It sees the Bible as not simply a random collection of books and stories, but in fact, a story with a subject, and that subject is Jesus Christ. He's the sum and substance of all Scripture. And everything in Scripture, we believe it because it all points toward Him and His work to save us. And that approach to the Bible means that we will find in there, as Jesus promises we will, a testimony to Christ our Savior. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to begin a series on Lutheran spirituality, today talking about the very center of Scripture, the doctrine of justification. Dr. Gene Edward Veith joins us. He's provost and professor of literature emeritus at Patrick Henry College, previously served as culture editor for World Magazine. He's director of the Cronach Institute at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and he's author of The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for May, The Spirituality of the Cross, third edition. Dr. Veith, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
You say that you found holiness in Lutheranism. What do you mean by that?
Well, I'd been through a lot of different kinds of churches and religions, and I mean, liberal ones, evangelical ones, but I'd never had experienced that sense of God's presence until I came to Lutheranism. I never was particularly reverent. That sense of being reverent because you're in the presence of something out of this world is really very alien to me. And I appreciated that so much in Lutheranism. And the more I studied, the more I understood it. In the first time I went to a Lutheran service, it was so different. I mean, the music was different. The actions were different, you know, standing and kneeling and listening and bowing. It was all like we were in another realm. And later I realized that we were. We were in the presence of God. And that was part of my experience that I really didn't appreciate then. Later I learned more about holiness and the holiness of God and how God is set apart from everything else, and how certain things are set apart for His use. And the more I learned that, I started to crave it and to need it. And Lutheranism taught me about the holiness of God and the sacraments, the holy things that when Christ's presence sort of breaks through in bread and wine and water and the holiness, the Holy Bible. It's not just the Bible, it's the Holy Bible because it's set apart. It's different from every other kind of book and text that I've been reading because it comes from God Himself. Even vocation, you know, even looking at secular life to realize there's a holiness in marriage and parenthood and my work, how I make a living, because God is active and working in a hidden way through that too. There's a holiness that permeates everything if you just see that through faith.
Contrast the word evangelical as it's often used today with the way that the first evangelicals, as you call them, the first Lutherans used it.
Well, today, evangelical has become a synonym for just about any conservative Protestant, people who believe the Bible, who evangelize, who want to bring other people to Christ. And it's become sort of an all-encompassing term for all kinds of people, Baptists, Pentecostals, the whole range of sort of conservative Protestants. But originally the word referred to Lutherans. Back during the Reformation time, as there were different factions kind of emerged, you had the strain known as the Reformed, the Calvinists and Zwinglius and others. So they were Reformed. The Lutherans were called Evangelical. The word evangelical comes from the Greek word for gospel, good news. And the gospel in Christianity is that Christ died to save sinners. And that central message of the gospel was really central to every aspect of what these Lutheran people were teaching and were all about. The gospel, the evangel, that was at the center of Lutheran understanding of baptism. The Lord's Supper is evangelical. The doctrine of Scripture was evangelical. Our understanding of Christ is evangelical. Our understanding of God is evangelical. And so that term evangelical really captured in many ways what the Lutherans were all about. And so the first evangelicals were Lutheran. Now, other people have used that term, and it kind of means many different things. But that's a good way to understand, I think, what Lutheran spirituality is, the way that it's the keystone of it all, the article upon which the church stands or falls, as the Lutheran theologians say, is that message of justification by Christ, the gospel. That's the linchpin of everything else that Lutherans are all about.
What do you mean by the word spirituality?
Well, let me say what I don't mean by it. That'll maybe clarify what I do mean by it. A lot of people see spirituality as in, you know, I'm spiritual but not religious, thinking in terms of some inner mystical sort of experience that they're after. Other times, the spiritual realm is contrasted with the physical realm, and some people want to withdraw from the physical realm to be totally spiritual and all of that. They put a wall of separation between the physical and the spiritual. What I mean by it is sort of how the point at which theology intersects with life. Theology is another good word, but it has misunderstandings. Theology, for some people, it's an academic discipline. It's a list of doctrines and teachings. It's a set of abstract ideals. But spirituality, I think, certainly depends on theology, on what we know about God and Christ and the Christian life. But the spiritual side includes things like prayer and confession of sin and confession of faith. It includes the practices of going to church, of going about our vocations in the light of God's revelation. And so spirituality is sort of, I mean, I think a good way to think of it is where theology becomes concrete and is lived out in the actual life of a person, of a Christian.
Dr. Gene Edward Veith is our guest, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for May, The Spirituality of the Cross, 3rd edition. We're beginning a series with him on Lutheran spirituality today, the doctrine of justification. On the other side, why does this spirituality necessarily need theology?
educating a new generation of Lutherans. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is. 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday, May the 13th, we're beginning a series with Dr. Gene Edward Veith on Lutheran spirituality, today the doctrine of justification. Dr. Veith, the spirituality you were describing before the break, why does it need theology?
Well, otherwise it will become vague and purely subjective and content-free, and it loses its very reality. A lot of people today say, I'm spiritual but not religious. And they are. It's not just a term, but they think they can have spirituality without religion, without content, without doctrine, without worship, without other people. And so they end up making up their own inner religion, really, based on what they want things to be. And they end up with a religion, only it's a religion consisting of only one person, because every person, they're all creating their own set of beliefs. But the problem is that's not real. Spirituality needs to be connected to objective reality. If it's to be of any help to us, or if it's to change our lives or give our lives meaning. And so the spirituality needs theology to moor it to the real world, the objective world. So it's not just an inner kind of subjective experience that can come and go and really doesn't have that much to offer.
How does Lutheranism, as you say, face up to imperfection?
Yeah, well, all the other kinds of religions that I had explored sought perfection in one way or another, a perfection of your life, of a moral perfection sometimes, or a perfection of understanding, or, you know, solve all the questions, answer all of the problems, or a perfection of living. And that is the foundation of just about every other religion out there. But the problem with it is you never can quite achieve perfection. You can perceive moral perfection, and that's a worthy goal. And yet, you know, always fall short, or at least I did and do, and I think everyone else is the same way. Or a perfection of understanding. You can never know enough. You can't ever answer everything completely because the mind is so limited. What Lutheranism does, though, I realize, it begins with that fact. It begins with our imperfection. It begins with the fact that you cannot and will not live a morally perfect life. You cannot and will not be able to figure out everything yourself just through your own intellect. You cannot and will not set up the perfect society that will solve all the our social problems. It faces up to that, which to me made it very realistic. But then in starting with that, it offered a bigger answer, because Christ, God, the Son of God, God the Son became incarnate. He lived that perfect life for us. He is morally perfect. And by faith, by his working through the word and sacrament and the faith that creates where we're bound to him, he lives that perfection for us, and he ascribes it to us. He lives the morally perfect life. He does have perfect understanding, and that's revealed to us in his word. And although we still might never be able to fully get our mind around the revelations of Scripture, yet we have a reliable, firm, perfect revelation that we can depend on. And so by facing up to our imperfection and then to realize the perfection that's given us in Christ, the problem is resolved in a very realistic and satisfying way.
Talk about the various paths which men imagine they can use to reach God.
Well, there's a great book by Adolf Kaeberle called The Quest for Holiness. There's holiness again. And he talks about the different paths. One way is the way of moralism, to have right conduct, right action. And by our goodness, by pursuing goodness and virtue, that is a way many people look to be acceptable to God, to reach God. That's one path. Another is the way of understanding. The idea, if I can just figure God out, if I just had the right answers, then everything would be well with me. Then I could find God. Then I could find holiness, whatever that is. And so it's a way of speculation and contemplation and reading the next book and getting the most information. If we just had the right information, that would be what we need. And then the other is the way of mysticism. If I could just experience God. And again, there are many different ways of mysticism, many different paths to go on, meditation or discipline, physical disciplines like yoga, contemplation, separating yourself from everything else and pursuing this religious experience. That's a way many people have to reach God. So that's different ways people go. Now, again, the Lutheran insight is that these paths won't get you there, or they might, except we can't because of our sinful nature. They lead us astray. And what I learned in Lutheranism is that all of these paths are fulfilled by Christ. Moralism, the path of morality, Christ is moral. Christ forgives bore our sins, gives us his righteousness. The way of speculation, the way of the intellect, we don't have to figure everything out by our limited reason. He gives us his word. He reveals what we need to know about him. The way of mystical experience, it isn't that we have to ascend up to God, who is far, far above us and will never ascend that far, but he descends to us in his incarnation, in Christ. Christ comes to us. Christ, it's not a matter of becoming one with God through our mystical experience. He becomes one with us through his incarnation in Jesus Christ. And by faith, he becomes one with us on the cross. And in our baptism, we're engrafted into him. And we have that unity with him after all. But none of this is what we do. None of this is our effort. It's all God's effort, so to speak. It's all the work of Christ.
Why do we need to abandon speculation about God?
Well, our minds are just so small. And God, the things of God are just so infinite and beyond us. We can't fit God into our little heads. And when we try to, or think we have, what we have is going to be only a very small part of God, or maybe a false God, one that we can fit into our heads and understand and control and manipulate, we think. But it just can't be done. The human mind is a wonderful thing. Human reason is a great thing. We can figure out a lot, but we can't figure out everything. We can't even figure out things in this world completely. And there's always more to learn. And science makes one discovery, but after every horizon, it opens up new horizons for discovery. And we can never learn enough. And it's certainly that way with God. The only way to know God is to know what He tells us about Himself. He descends to us in His Word. He uses human language, and human beings who wrote these things down, whom He inspired, to give us His Word. And so He gives us knowledge of Himself. Again, it's not even that, you know, boggles our minds, the things that we learn in Scripture. And we cannot fully understand these things. And yet God gives us in His Word things that we can understand and that we can grasp about Himself, about His love for us, about what He's done for us in Christ. And through that Word, God creates faith in our hearts. It's not just a matter of speculation or of coming up with new good ideas. It's something that God Himself creates in us. And with that, we can know Him truly and personally and not exhaustively, not on this side of eternal life, but we know what is enough for us. We know what we need and what we know we can rely upon.
We're beginning a series on Lutheran spirituality today, talking about the doctrine of justification with Dr. Gene Edward Veith, director of the Chronic Institute at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Concordia Theological Seminary forms servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess at ctsfw.edu. Call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. When we return, what does it mean to read God's Word as law and gospel?
Built on the rock, children of the Heavenly Father, on my heart imprint your image, rejoice, rejoice, believers, and so much more. Hi, this is Pastor Will Whedon inviting you to join us for our hymn sing at the 2021 Making the Case Conference. This year's theme, Northern Lights, Danish and Scandinavian Hymns. Making the Case is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If only we could see and hear what takes place in the divine service. The holy God's voice pours out eternal gifts. Sinners are washed in cleansing water that saves them from death. The Son of God gives his body and blood for us, the food of immortality. The church on earth blends her voice with angels and saints in glory to praise our God. These wondrous mysteries take place at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Stevensville, Montana, 184 Pine Hollow Road. Call 406-777-5625 or find us on Facebook.
Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas is now enrolling for the coming school year. What makes us unique? A confessional Lutheran school offering a classical education for preschool through 12th grades. Faith Lutheran School features rigorous classes that incorporate a focus on wisdom, truth, virtue, and the historic Christian faith. Live online classes are also available for high school students worldwide. To learn more about Faith Lutheran School or to submit an application, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're beginning a series on Lutheran spirituality with Dr. Gene Edward Veith. We're talking about the doctrine of justification. Dr. Veith, what does it mean to read God's word as law and gospel?
Well, reading the Bible can be a scary thing, and it needs to be a scary thing in a lot of ways. I remember when I first read the Bible seriously, it was terrifying to read about God's standards for right and wrong and God's wrath against sin, and to realize that as I was reading the Old Testament, man, just about everything that the law requires a death penalty for, rebellion against parents, idolatry, sorcery, sexual sin, I'd done that. And I deserve that death penalty before God. And to see God's wrath, I began to realize that God, my thoughts about God were very different. I had been sort of making up a nice domesticated God that consisting of different qualities that I liked. But this is a God that's alien and different from myself and overwhelming and frightening. And I realize now that that was the law working. And there are three uses of God's law: the moral law that's also in our conscience to restrain evil so that society is possible, to restrict our external actions. And the third use of the law is to guide Christians on how to live in a God-pleasing way. But that second use of the law is to awaken to us our sinful condition, our desperate condition, our need for salvation. And once that happens, again, as I was reading the Bible, I kept going and I see that God breaks in. He redeems his people. I was going through the Old Testament and to see how God sends a deliverer to deliver his sinful people. I came to the part about the temple, about the sacrifices, that a lamb can be sacrificed, and through the blood of the lamb, God proclaims atonement. God proclaims forgiveness of sin. And of course, all of that was pointing and predicting and prophesying Christ. And when I got to the New Testament and read about Christ and read about the meaning of his life, death, and resurrection in the epistles, it was just so joyful. And I saw that I was saved despite my sins, and that those sins had been removed, taken away from me, placed on Christ, that somehow he bore my sin. And he accepted the punishment that I deserve, and he rose again, his new life, and it became my new life. And so that dynamic between the law and the gospel, again, it's not just doctrine, it's spirituality, because you live that, to face up to your imperfection, to your need, to your failures. But you need to do that in order to grasp the good news, to see why it's good. I think some people think they don't need Christ. Oh, I'm a good person. I don't need all of that stuff. I'm a good person. And they rationalize their behavior and weaken the law and change it to something that they can figure out for themselves and that they can do. But in doing that, they're missing out on faith, on faith that comes from being broken by the law and then being revived by the gospel. And you've gone through the law. The gospel is so precious. You cling to it. And that's the life of faith. And that's where the power really is. Even to fulfill the law to a lesser extent. Because when you go through the gospel, then, and you have that faith in Christ, you don't want to live the same way you did before. You want to please Christ, and Christ works on you. And when you know his love, that makes it easier to love other people, to love other unlovable people like yourself. So the third use of the law, namely to guide the way we live in our Christian lives, that becomes something feasible. And although, you know, never as much as we should, it makes a huge difference. And so the law finds a kind of fulfillment in Christ above all, but also then in our efforts for our faith to bear fruit in the other different parts of our lives. And that looks a lot like good works. And they are good works because they've been purified through Christ and are the fruits of faith.
So what does the word justification mean, and why is this teaching central in God's word?
Well, to justify means to say, I'm righteous. When I do something bad, I try to justify myself. I say, no, that's what wasn't really wrong. There was nothing wrong with what I did. I was right after all. You were wrong. I am right. So that's a kind of a justification. We justify our actions. We give excuses. We give rationalizations. We try to say that we are right. Now, justification, the article of justification, means that we don't have to do that. When we stop trying to justify ourselves, and that's what the law teaches us to do and makes us realize, we can know Christ's justification. Christ declares us righteous. Christ says that we're right. And, you know, even when we're wrong, which we are, somehow because of the cross, we're justified by Christ's life, death, and resurrection. And so he declares us righteous. We are saved by good works, but it's Christ's good works, not our own, because we can't come up with enough of them. But Christ gives us his good works when we're in union with him through baptism, through the Lord's Supper, through his word, and the faith that all of those things build. So it's how Christ makes us, declares us, puts us right with God, makes us right. That's what justification is. And really, that's the great theme of the scripture. That's the gospel. That's the article by which the church stands and falls. And in my view, because this teaching has been downplayed so much, including by a lot of evangelicals who have different ways of looking at salvation, making it an act of the will or something we do. And there's even a lot of theologians, even seemingly conservative theologians, have been attacking justification these days and the work of Christ on the cross and what that means. Justification is the article on which the church stands and falls. Right now, the church is falling. The church is falling. And I think the reason it falls is because we've lost sight of its true, most important, most joyful, and most life-changing message, namely our justification by faith in Christ.
Dr. Gene Edward Veith is our guest. He's author of the book, The Spirituality of the Cross, 3rd edition. We're beginning a series on Lutheran spirituality today, The Doctrine of Justification. How does Scripture use the word faith? Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club during the 50 days of Easter, and we'll send you Pastor Will Wheaton's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish, in addition to other membership benefits like shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran church. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program on the donate page at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
As we struggle to look at the world from a Lutheran perspective, there are many things that would tempt us from seeking first the kingdom of God. The May issue of the Lutheran Witness is all about this. Titled, Seek First the Kingdom of God, it covers a wide range of learning how to get over our worries and fears and trust in Christ alone, to how to avoid the temptations and struggles of technology. To order your copy of the Lutheran Witness, visit cph.org/witness. You can also read more on witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Atonement Lutheran, Glendale, Arizona. Concordia Lutheran, Geneseo, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Stevensville, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. St. John Lutheran, Port Sanilac, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Long Beach, California, and Trinity Lutheran, San Dimas, California. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Dr. Gene Edward Veith is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about the Doctrine of Justification, kicking off a series with him on Lutheran spirituality. Dr. Veith, how does Scripture use the word faith?
Well, faith is always connected to the object of faith. It's not just faith, but it's what is your faith in? Who is your faith in? You know, faith means trust, dependence, belief, connection to, but it isn't just any kind of faith. Luther said that in his explanation of the first commandment in the Large Catechism, he said the difference between God and an idol is what your faith is in. What does it mean to have a God? To have God is to have faith in the real God of Scripture. But we often put our faith, he said, in other things, in other deities from other religions, or in our money or wealth or our popularity. He says, what do you trust? That's your God. Who do you look to for good in all things? That's your God. And the key is having the right object, is to have God be your God. And when you do, your faith is right. I've heard TV preachers talk about faith, and I remember hearing one talk about, yeah, salvation by faith. It's all about faith. You've got to have faith. And then he said, you have to have faith in yourself. And that's what it was based on. And the idea, if you had faith in yourself, you'll have the power of positive thinking, the prosperity gospel clicks in, and you will have health and wealth and happiness and success, and you won't have any problems. But faith in yourself, talk about idolatry, talk about a false teaching. Again, the law teaches us not to have faith in ourselves. We need faith in Christ who saves us. And so it's important to have not just an unanchored faith, but faith always has an object in Scripture. And the key to having the right faith is putting your faith in the right person, and that is Jesus Christ and his work for us on the cross.
What's the danger of reading God's Word with something other than justification at the center?
Yeah, well, you hear that. People say, well, the Bible is our rule book for life. Or it's the, yes, I've heard coaches talk about that. It's the rule book. This is what we have to do. This is the rule to the game of life. It becomes just a collection of teachings of morality, which we should follow, or it becomes, you know, the Constitution. This is the Constitution. We should follow the Bible as we structure society. And yes, the law is an important part of it, as we said. But if you miss the gospel, and there's something else about the God's Word that I learned from Lutheranism that's important. It's a means of grace. That is, God's Word is a means by which he, through the Holy Spirit, reaches us and addresses us personally and brings us to faith. If you don't read the Bible in light of justification, you're just getting information about God, mostly about the law, and you're turning it into something that isn't, and you're turning away from its great power. Its power to convict us of sin, but also to convict us of God's love for us in Christ and the gospel. So reading the Bible, it's a very dynamic sort of thing. It's not just a collection of ancient information. It's not just a collection of doctrines, even. It's not just a collection of what to do. It's God's voice speaking to us in a very direct and intimate way to take us through an experience of being broken by the law and of being brought back to life by the gospel that brings us to faith. And again, a lot of people have an idea of the Holy Spirit as something that's simply inside us. And yes, the Holy Spirit dwells in it. So a lot of people look to themselves and inside and look at their experience and their subjective feelings and say that must be the Holy Spirit working. Whereas to understand the Bible as a means of grace, if you want to know what the Holy Spirit says, don't look into yourself. Open the pages of Holy Scripture. And the Holy Spirit, you have direct access to the Holy Spirit. He's coming to you from outside yourself. And he's giving you that guidance, yes, but also that admonition and that encouragement, that comfort. He's our comforter. We have direct access to God in his word and the work of the Holy Spirit. So if you turn it into something just mechanical or just a information book or a guidebook or a rule book, you're really missing the wonders of what Scripture can do for us.
You say that Lutheranism can be seen as a system of paradoxes. What do you mean by that?
Well, a paradox is when you have two seemingly contradictory things, but they're not contradictions. They're simply two poles of a reality. And a lot of theologies, theological traditions, again, try to rationalize everything, to make everything comprehensible and clear and lucid by reason. And sometimes that means downplaying things that don't quite fit into that system. Whereas Lutheranism, it teaches certainly that Christianity itself is full of paradoxes. Christ is fully God and fully man. Okay, and you would think that, well, is he a man or is he a God? Which is it? Okay, that's thinking like a rationalist, one or the other. But the Christian view of reality is so much bigger. No, he is fully God, true God, and he's fully man, true man. And okay, and that's paradoxical. Now, Lutheranism accepts paradox on other levels. I mean, even the rationalistic kinds of theologies have to accept that central mystery of the Christian faith, who Christ is. But in sacramental theology, Holy Communion is bread and wine, and it's the body and blood of Christ. Now, even Catholic theology tries to approach that rationally. They say, no, it is not bread anymore. It's only the body of Christ. It's only an illusion that it's bread. Transubstantiation, it seems like it has the appearance of bread, but it's actually only the body. It's only Christ's blood. Yes, it has the appearance of wine, but after the words of consecration are said by the priest, it's only bread or wine. And the Reformed, in their, again, more rationalistic approach, say, well, no, it's only bread. It's only wine. It symbolizes the body and blood. It's just a symbol, but it's only, whereas Lutheranism takes such a bigger approach to see the paradox that Holy Communion is spoken of in Scripture. It's spoken of as the body and blood of Christ, and also as bread and wine. So we affirm both of those teachings. One of the reasons I first got interested in Luther way back when was a friend of mine in college pointed out that Calvin creates a system, a rational system. Arminius creates a rational system. And in doing that, Calvin has to explain away things that in Scripture that don't fit his view. The Arminians, they accept other things, and they have to explain away or minimize things that don't fit. He said, Luther, though, his great theological works are mainly conducted as Bible commentaries, and he follows the contours of Scripture wherever they lead him. And so in taking the teachings of Scripture about so much, you know, predestination, and yet whosoever will may come, Scripture teaches both of those things. The Calvinist do a lot with predestination, and they teach, they have to explain away and minimize the teaching that whosoever will may come, and that Christ died for the sins of the world. And so the Calvinists tie themselves in knots and teaching the limited atonement directly against the clear words of Scripture that Christ died not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. The Arminians, they focus on whosoever will may come, and Christ died for all, and so they have to come up with decision theology, reducing faith to a decision, even though that's never described as such in Scripture. Whereas Lutheran theology, yes, we believe in predestination. Yes, we believe that we're saved solely by God's grace, and He creates faith in us. He chooses us. He gives faith as a gift. And yet at the same time, we can say, yes, whosoever will may come. Don't think that you're excluded. This promise is for you. Christ died for the sins of the whole world. That includes your sins. We can tell that to anybody and everybody. And that openness to the comprehensive mystery of faith that sometimes has two different poles that seem to be opposite, but they can both be true. That's what I mean by Lutheran openness to paradox. And it really becomes a very, again, liberating kind of approach, I think, to theological belief and to a doctrinal confession. And it makes God's reality so much bigger than our petty little understandings.
Up next, the 16th century reformer Martin Luther famously said, "The cross alone is our theology." What did he mean? Justification, the means of grace, the theology of the cross, Christology, vocation, living in two kingdoms, and worship. Dr. Gene Edward Veith covers each of these teachings in the new third edition of his book, The Spirituality of the Cross. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Spirituality of the Cross, third edition. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May.
When it comes to serving their neighborhood, what could two churches 2,400 miles apart have in common? Both Grace Lutheran Church in Blaine, Washington, and Christ the King in Memphis, Tennessee, are confronting homelessness in amazing ways. Their stories are inspiring and make you want to join in with them. Hello, my name is Rahema Kavuga of Lutheran Church Extension Fund, and I'm inviting you to check out these stories and more at interesttime.org. Great things are happening coast to coast, and you can be a part of it. That's interesttime.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Because Jesus' death on the cross has reconciled us to God. He is our dear Father, which means He's going to take care, perfect care, always of us.
Morning Chapel. From Cramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
We're talking to Dr. Gene Edward Veith about the doctrine of justification in our Lutheran Spirituality series. I'm Todd Wilkin. Folks, here's a way that you can help us educate a new generation of Lutherans. Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's a small group of faithful listeners who pledge to support this worldwide outreach monthly or annually. Find out more on the support donate page at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. When you join the Reformation Club before Pentecost Day, May 23rd, we'll send you Pastor Will Wheaton's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish, in addition to other membership premiums, the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. Dr. Veith, the 16th century reformer Martin Luther famously said, "The cross alone is our theology." Now, Luther didn't mean this reductively, as though nothing but the cross mattered in our theology. How should we understand this statement?
Well, again, it goes back to justification, evangelical. The cross is the linchpin. And again, every aspect of Lutheran doctrine and practice. And yes, there are many different aspects to it. It's a very rich and abundant sort of theological tradition and Christian tradition and all that it teaches. But it all comes down to the cross. Justification by faith, it's the work of the cross make that possible. Baptism, we were crucified with Christ and raised with Christ. And so the cross is the Lutheran teaching on baptism. The Lord's Supper, this is my body given for you. This is my blood poured out for the remission of your sin. That's the cross. Our worship, the pattern of confession, absolution, hearing God's word, the sermon, the sacrament, it's all the cross. It's everywhere. Even secular seeming things that touch on that, like vocation, the cross. Jesus said, if you would follow me, take up your cross daily, deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. And that daily self-denial, the daily sacrifice of the self, because the cross is an instrument of sacrifice. An invocation, when we love and serve our neighbors in our marriage, in our parenting, in our workplace, in our citizenship, that's the cross. Lutheranism also has a lot to help us with suffering. It's been said that American Christians tend to lack a theology of suffering. And so when something bad happens, you're suffering, oh, God must not love me, or maybe there isn't a God, because we just can't handle that. Luther's theology of the cross can help us to do that, as we know that God himself in Christ bears on the cross, bore our sins, yes, but he also bears our griefs. It says in Isaiah, he bears our afflictions with us. The cross, it comes up everywhere. And it's really a good summary of Lutheran spirituality. Luther talked about the theology of glory versus the theology of the cross. And again, theologies of glory, where you understand everything, you're successful, you live a victorious moral life, and everything is great, and it goes good for you all the time. And right now, that's a big competitor with Christianity and the prosperity gospel. But that focus on glory, on the self, but Christ comes to us in the cross. The theology of the cross is a way of seeming weakness and not glory and not having everything work out exactly the way we think it should. And yet it's in the cross that Christ saves us. And that theology of the cross, again, sums up everything pretty much in Lutheran spirituality and in Christian spirituality, I'd say.
Before we let you go, Dr. Veith, how is this third edition of what I've called a classic in Lutheran theology, the spirituality of the cross, different from the previous editions?
Well, several ways. For one, it's written into a new context. When I wrote the first edition back in, I think, 1999, evangelicalism was big, and you know, time of mega churches, and all of Christianity was seemed to be going really well. Now we're in the age where a majority of Americans are no longer members of any church. We're in the age of the nuns, of those who claim to be spiritual but not religious. And so there's kind of a different climate. And I revised this new one, trying to keep what people liked about the old one, but also with this new audience in mind, in this new context where Christianity and evangelicalism are sort of in a bad way right now and seen in the bad light. But I want to address the different audience that we have today. The big difference is it's 44% longer. And I know the strength of the old one was it was so short. You could give it to somebody and they could read it, and it's not a big, massive tome that they had to get through. And I still try to keep the book kind of to be that way. But it's longer because I've added some things. For example, I go into more detail about my own spiritual journey. First edition seemed personal, and it was personal, but I didn't really tell much about myself because I don't like to talk about myself. But I bit the bullet and went into some more detail about growing up in a liberal mainstream Protestant church where I really wasn't taught anything about historic Christianity, to my involvement with lots of other different things, and how I finally found Lutheranism. I go into more detail about that. I also, just because I've continued to study and to grow and learn about this vast stream of Lutheranism, I added a completely new chapter on Christology, because Lutherans have some unique and very helpful things to say about the person of Christ and the centrality of Christ. And I realized I really needed to talk about that. And I do. So I add that chapter. I also add things throughout, such as a kind of blow-by-blow description of Lutheran worship, of what goes on in the divine service, and what it means and why it's so fantastic. So I added some things to just about every chapter, fleshing them out a little bit more. I studied a lot more about vocation than I did when I wrote that book back in 1999. And so I have more about vocation there. And just a lot of other things as I've continued to grow and be helped by my Lutheran church, I've worked those things into the book, and I tried to write it so that it still has the qualities that seem to have been very helpful to people. I get some incredible testimonies from people who say, that book changed my life. It brought a lot of people into the Lutheran church. It brought people into Christianity because they had never really understood who Christ is and what he had accomplished for them and what the gospel really is till they read that book. I've been hearing from several ministers and other denominations who read that book and have become Lutherans. In some cases, then go on to seminary and become Lutheran pastors. And anyway, it's just been very overwhelming, and to see that this is something that God has used, and to think that something I put together like that, and I didn't invent any of this. This is all just what I've been taught by my pastors and by my reading. It's just very, very humbling. And this new edition, I hope, just provides kind of more of the same and makes it even more effective and more relevant for people today.
Dr. Gene Edward Veith is Provost and Professor of Literature Emeritus at Patrick Henry College. He previously served as Culture Editor for World Magazine. He's Director of the Chronic Institute at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and he's author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for May, The Spirituality of the Cross. I highly recommend this book. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Ask for The Spirituality of the Cross, 3rd edition by Dr. Gene Edward Veith, 1-800-325-3040. Next time with Dr. Veith, we'll discuss the means of grace. Dr. Veith, thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Friday on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Chris Roseborough about the ordination of 3 female pastors at Rick Warren's Saddleback Community Church. We'll discuss defending everyone's religious freedom in a pluralistic age with Dr. Andrew Walker. And we'll continue our Lutheran Spirituality series with Dr. Gene Edward Veith. Christ's righteousness is yours. He has given it to you, and it is as certain as His word. He has declared you righteous with His own righteousness. His obedience in life, His obedience in death, His obedience in the command to take up His life again in His resurrection, all that righteousness, the divine righteousness of the Son of God, is yours. That's what it means to be justified in Christ's name. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
St. Paul Lutheran School of Hamel, Illinois is the only classical Lutheran school in Greater St. Louis. We're looking for a first and second grade teacher for the 2021-2022 school year. We pay 100% salary scale for the Southern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Other benefits include full health care coverage, retirement and disability, and continuing education assistance. For more information, email jeff@issuesetc.org. jeff@issuesetc.org.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.